I'm Denise.
She's a non-fiction editor. And I'm Louise.
She's a fiction editor. And together,
we're the Editing Podcast. Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Editing Podcast. So this time around, we're going to take a look at something that new entrants to the field often wonder about, and that's choosing to go niche.
Yeah, that comes up a lot. And you know, a lot of people do worry about being too much of a specialist and whether going down that route is going to damage their business. So we're going to have a chat about the pros and cons, and hopefully that will give you a bit of clarity if you've been wondering about it.
Yeah. So the first thing we want to make clear is that there are different degrees of nicheness. So take me, I'm quite far along the niche scale. It's not only that I've niched down to fiction, but particular genres within fiction, crime fiction, thrillers and mysteries. And while I still think of you as niche, Denise, I think that you're not quite as niche as me.
You're going to get your words all tangled up here. We're going to start talking about quiches in a minute, I think. A niche quiche. Yeah, so definitely, I would agree. I've niched down to nonfiction and specialise in business and education titles, but I also work in creative nonfiction like memoir and with academics who are publishing in the humanities. But I have a wider client list too, publishers, think tanks, digital agencies, entrepreneurs, SMEs and indie authors, whereas your client base is much more niche.
Yeah, indie authors. Just indie authors.
That was simple.
That wasn't always the case, though. That was a decision I made when I felt the time was right for me. But it shows that you can rebrand when it suits you. And that's one of the benefits of being a sole trader, isn't it?
Yeah. And we can break out of our niches if an opportunity presents itself that we like the look of. Yeah. So if a romance author got in touch with you and you wanted to work on that project, you could.
Only as long as there was a murder in it.
But yeah, a murder.
yeah. Only you can say that and make it really work. Tag it. Like. Yeah. But yeah, I take your point. We can change our minds and break out of the niche mold if we want to.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the benefits of editing or proofreading in a niche.
Good idea.
So one of the top benefits of niching is the knowledge that you can bring to the table and that makes you stand out when you focus on it.
So if you have a really deep understanding of the subject matter, including specific terminology or jargon, this puts you in a really good position to spot errors and inconsistencies and to query potential problems that a general editor might miss.
Yeah. So, for example, if you were a pharmacist in a previous life, or if you're a passionate baker, you're more likely to spot errors in relation to chemicals or baking quantities than me or Louise.
I don't know whether we've talked about this on this show before, but there's a story about how there was a paper that went out with the word insulin in it when it should have been inulin.
So yes.
Insulin is a hormone, whereas inulin is a fructose polymer.
Yeah, I think they hadn't an editor changed inulin to insulin because they thought it was an error and they didn't know about the content. Something like that, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, did you look that up? Fructose polymers.
No, I know everything. Yes, I looked it up just for this podcast. Fact checking.
Yeah, very important.
Anyway, the point is that the rogue S got published and is the kind of thing that a specialist editor might have picked up on.
Yeah, and so being able to sing from the rooftops that you're a specialist pharmaceutical editor means you're really going to stand out and give people confidence about hiring you.
So one of the other benefits is that niching means you get to focus on editorial work that really interests you.
Yeah. So if you're particularly like working with certain client types or in certain subject or genre areas, that means you're getting paid for work that might not always feel like work.
That's so true. I read a lot of thrillers because I love that genre. And then I get to do that for my day job too. I mean, I know it's completely different to reading solely for pleasure, but I do find it a very satisfying way to earn a living.
Yeah, and I really enjoy working with indie business authors because I get to learn while I'm doing it.
Yeah, like when you copy edited Kendra McDonald's Hack the Buyer Brain, you kept coming up with all these amazing business insights after you'd done that job and saying, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that?
Yeah, I totally did. And it was work. Of course it was, but it was lovely work. Yeah. And being able to come to work and really enjoy what you do because you've niched is just brilliant.
Yeah. So we touched on this earlier when we were talking about specialist knowledge, but I think that niching makes marketing and branding easier because it gives you a focus.
Oh, definitely. Because I think it could be quite difficult to trying to create a message on your website that's really compelling when you don't have specialisms to anchor around it.
Yeah, I remember back when I first created a website. Oh my goodness, my first website. I had a ton of text. I mean, it was like a book. And it was because I was trying to communicate too much information.
Yeah, I was the same. And if you're a great copywriter, it can probably be done. But that's not a given just because you're a trained editor or proofreader.
Definitely not. And if you're trying to decide how to make your online presence more engaging by creating content, that can be tricky if you don't have a niche, because where do you start?
Yeah, I agree. Whereas if you're targeting a specific audience or focusing on solving problems in a specific subject or genre, it's much easier.
Yeah, and helps you with the search engine optimization too, because you know the keywords and phrases you're going to want to include.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's another benefit too, and that relates to what you can earn. I think niche expertise can be framed in a way that enables you to charge more.
Yeah, because people are often prepared to pay for a specialist and for tailored services. And that sort of comes back to the knowledge issue we started with, because there's always going to be a smaller pot of people in a niche.
Yeah, and scarcity generally equates to higher pricing. So, for example, maybe you're an editor or proofreader who's more of a generalist when it comes to subject or genre, but you have a niche skill like knowing InDesign back to front, so you can offer an interior design add-on.
Exactly. That opportunity for offering niche supplementary services is a really good one. So maybe you have graphic design skills that mean you can offer to create marketing packs for authors, or maybe you have great copywriting skills so you can offer a blurb writing niche.
Yeah, and that doesn't just make you stand out from the crowd. It also enables you to upsell your services, which increases your income. So have we sold it to you yet? It wouldn't be fair not to consider the cons, because it has to be a balanced decision, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, definitely. So one of the obvious disadvantages of niching is the lack of variety. If you're the type of person who gets enjoyment from working on lots of different types of projects and with different types of clients and doing different types of editing, the idea of niching really might not gel with you.
Yeah, and I think that's partly why I've not become as niche as you. Yes, I specialise to a degree, but I do like a bit of variety. I'm not sure I'd want to work solely for think tanks or solely for publishers or solely for indie authors. I think I get itchy feet.
That's interesting. Maybe it's a little different with fiction, because every story is so different. And with the genre I work in, there's a new murderer every time. But anyway, the point is that it's important for anyone thinking about whether they want to niche to consider how much they crave that variety and how it will affect your engagement with your work.
Yeah. So the other thing we need to acknowledge is that if you niche deeply, you're narrowing your potential client base.
So if, like me, you say you're a crime fiction thriller and mystery editor, your email inbox isn't going to be flooded with requests from students who need their theses proofread, or even other fiction authors who are writing in established genres like romance, science fiction or literary fiction. They're immediately going to discount me. Simple as that.
Yeah, exactly. And while that saves time, I think it does mean that nichers, if that's a word, need
it's
to be on...
a word. It's a word.
Okay. You've made it a word now. Nichers need to be on their marketing game and ensure that they're visible and it's clear what they're offering so that their smaller client base can still find them. Because being invisible in a smaller pool is no better than being invisible in a larger pool.
Yeah. And if we think back to lockdown, for example, there were lots of editors who worked solely for publishers. And when they shut down, a lot of people's work dried up temporarily.
Yeah, except for the science editors.
Yeah,
clients
true.
Were heaping COVID research papers on them.
Yeah, yeah. So true. It swings and roundabouts. Yeah. But while the time during the pandemic is an unusual one, it's a good reminder that a niche subject specialism or niche client type can benefit you, but it can also come back to bite you. You just...
Yeah, what swings and roundabouts, yeah. I think it's fair to say that more experienced editors are likely to niche because they found out where their heart lies and they've gained enough confidence to pursue it.
Definitely. They've also had time to develop their marketing strategy and get plenty of experience and take what might feel like a bit of a risk at first. Whereas when you're starting out, you want to get all that experience under your belt at the same time as spreading your wings a little and seeing what works for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's good to have that niche in mind, but not close yourself off.
Yeah.
Too soon when you're first establishing your
business.
Unless
you're really confident about it.
Yeah, yeah. And people are banging on your door, in which time which case, have at it.
Yeah.
So something else we need to consider, and it's not really a disadvantage, more of a caution, and that's when you sell yourself as an expert in a particular subject or genre, you'd better be that thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So, for example, if a publisher or project manager is hiring you for your specialist pharmaceutical knowledge, you need to be on your game with it and know your inulin from your insulin.
Yes. And if you're niching in romance fiction, you need to understand what readers' expectations are, because there may be things that need to be addressed in that genre that would be handled differently by an editor or author in, say, science fiction.
That's so true. So remember when we had Andy Hodges on the show to talk about world building in science fiction and fantasy? Mm. And he was talking about how he helps authors with potential problems around portraying invented groups and cultures.
Right. And the sensitivity issues that might crop up because these so-called invented cultures are actually too close to existing groups of humans.
Yeah. And that's not something you'd come across necessarily when editing crime fiction and thrillers. But it's something that's central to his work as a sci-fi and fantasy editor.
Yeah. So the point we're trying to make is, if you have a niche, hone your craft, study it.
It's not enough to say we niche in a certain thing just because we fancy it. We have to earn that right to call ourselves that expert and advertise ourselves as one.
Yeah. So let's wrap up. Being a niche editor or proofreader has advantages and disadvantages. There's no wrong or right. It really is up to you.
Yeah. Do what you feel comfortable with. And don't forget that there are different ways of niching and different degrees of it. It's not all or nothing.
So that's it from us. Thank you once again for listening. If you'd like to help support the Editing Podcast, we've got a couple of options for you. And the first is that you can tip us. Head over to theeditingpodcast.captivate.fm/support and make a one-off donation of your choosing.
Or you can join our Patreon community for £3 a month at patreon.com/editingpodcast. All our patrons get exclusive access to a huge batch of transcripts.
And both the links are in the show notes. In the meantime, she's been Louise.
And she's been Denise. We'll see you again soon.
Bye.
Bye.